You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 31 of Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
31 episodes, man. It's been almost a year.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Man, we got to plan something special for that 1 year, man. But this is episode 31. We have a very special guest that we'll be introducing in a few seconds. But before we do that, let's go ahead and do what we always do. Let's go ahead and throw those intros and information out there. Starting with, man, we was not expecting to have in the studio.
Motherfucker's been hiding.
Mr. Russ, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and throw all your social medias and all that good stuff out of there.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kevin. On Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, I'm _ made in the '80s. Now on Facebook, I'm Kevin D. Russ. Not gonna tell you what the D stand for.
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. And
yeah. Let's plug the group.
I was about to.
My bad. I'll back up. Go ahead.
Reality Era News of a Facebook wrestling group and Knockouts of Three Counts Pod on Facebook and also Knockouts Three Counts, is it OC?
KL3C
Pod, pretty much everywhere.
Yes. And on Instagram as well.
Yes, sir.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
I'm going to go ahead and go. And you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. If you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. And when you go in to make your purchase, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. Don't you dare do it.
1939.
Fuck you. 19309. Do we got anything coming up that you can think of?
Not other than not for us.
No, not for us. Okay. Well, that's all my stuff. Mr. Collison, go ahead and throw your shit in. And why don't you introduce our guests?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT, Kyle Collison on Facebook. And with us tonight, we have the guy that is killing it over there in Mexico. We have Mr. Sam Adonis. How you doing, brother man?
I'm doing good, buddy. Thank you for having me tonight. I'm just relaxing here in Mexico before I come up to you guys in Detroit this Saturday night for Ooh La La Lucha.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and anything you got coming up that you need to plug?
Well, I'm one of the busiest guys in wrestling that a lot of people have never heard of. I've done most of my work south of the border, so I've done well for myself. But that's keeping me really busy right now. So this Saturday, I'm in Detroit, Michigan. Next week, I will be in Chicago, Illinois. And I have some dates back down here in Mexico. And then Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Tokyo, Japan, you name it, I'll be there. Wow. But you guys can follow me on Twitter at Real Sam Adonis. It's quite easy. I try to keep it so everybody can stay in touch as easy as they can.
All righty. So you were just saying that you're going to be here in Detroit this weekend. We just had your opponent on the show last weekend, the mysterious Movado.
Damn guy.
I mean, he does have a mask. He does wear a mask. But
too much podcast juice already.
So talk to me about your match with Movado, man.
Well, Movado is one of these guys I've actually known for a long time. My dad was a promoter in the Pittsburgh area back in the day when he was one of the top tag teams in Detroit with the Bumpin' Uglies with his brother, Bubba McKenzie. So I've known them for a long time, and I've had a bit of success, you know, since then. And, you know, some of the promoting, the timing has worked itself out to bring me back into the fold, into the Detroit area. So last year, I was presented with an opportunity for Ooh La La Lucha at St. Andrews Hall, and I ended up beating my old friend, Josh Movado, for the Ooh La La Lucha Heavyweight Championship, which was, you know, in a sense, bittersweet because he was a friend at the time, and I was able to capture a prestigious title. But since then, I could probably go as far as say we're no longer friends. We don't hit it off quite like we used to, and especially in our line of work, the prestige and the ego that comes along with being a champion tends to change some people. So, Josh was not the same person I thought he was last time I saw him. So I was pretty happy to take his title And I will be even happier this Saturday night when I can come to St. Andrews Hall and show the people that, you know, I belong. Show the people that I am the face of Ooh La La Lucha. And as far as, you know, Lucha Libre in Detroit goes, Sam Adonis is always going to be at the top of the bill.
Wow. So basically, the two of you had a little bit of a split.
I wouldn't even call it a split. It's just things were different, you know. It's people grow apart. I wouldn't say we had a rift, you know, but this was before the match, you know. Just the egos. I'm an egotistical man, you know. I sell out arenas worldwide, man. The last 2 years, I've been nothing but a star everywhere I went. You know, so maybe I'm the one that's changed a little bit. But, you know, it wasn't the same seeing my old friend and, you know, just doing what needed to be done. The circumstances arose, and now, you know, there's he wants to get what he can back. So I'm going to make sure that I keep my name value where it's at, and I don't care whether he likes me or not. You know, I'm going to do what I have to do in order to keep my title, in order to keep my place in the Detroit wrestling scene, because I know I have a lot to offer, as opposed to somebody like that who, in my opinion, I think his best days are behind him. You know, ooh. I think the people of Detroit are probably tired of seeing a guy like Mysterious Movado. You know, they want to see the fresh young blood. And right now, you know, I'm riding the wave, and, you know, this could take us all the way into 2020 as far as I'm concerned.
Man, that's not like fighting words, man. So people, make sure you get your tickets for Ooh La La Lucha this Saturday, May 5th.
And we will be in the building there to check it out live, man. It's going to be fun to see.
Yes, sir.
Honestly, I can tell you the cool thing about last year is one of the questions I get a lot on these podcasts is about violent crowds and the reaction, the negative crowd reactions due to my pro-Trump gimmick that I do down here in Mexico. And honestly, I can say last year, Cinco de Mayo was one of the most hostile crowds I was in front of. I don't know if it's the way Detroit fans are, or maybe it was an extra liberal crowd that night, but I struck some nerves, and I felt honestly, you know, I felt like I could have easily gotten a fight with a fan after that show. So hopefully it's the same energy. You know, hopefully I can you know, warm up with a good bar fight before my match and get some drunk Detroit people kicked out of the bar. But, you know, the crazier the crowd, the more I have energy and the more of a fight you're going to be able to see.
So, in other words, you got acquainted real quick to how things are down in Detroit, so you'll definitely be able to find one of those before the match if that's what you're looking for, I'm sure.
Well, and I totally dig St. Andrews Hall. I think that's a really awesome venue. It's perfect for wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the biggest place, but the environment's awesome. It has a real hard rock feel to it. You know, I know, like, the ICP's through there. I think Eminem's played there, and Kid Rock. You know, a lot of Detroit's, you know, music scene has passed through those doors. So, you know, essentially, professional wrestlers on an independent level are pretty much on the same level as being in a band. You know, you're traveling the world to get your name out there. You know, so to be able to hone your craft in those same kind of places where, you know, these legends of the music industry have made themselves famous, you know, to me, it just has a neat little mystique about it.
So you were talking about how you know, you're all over the world at this point in your Trump gimmick. Tell me a little bit about how you what brought you to Mexico? I know you started in Pittsburgh with your brother and all that stuff out on the indies and stuff. How did what made you make the switch to Mexico? And what since you're talking about hostile crowds, you know, tell me a little bit about how it's got to be down there with the Trump gimmick.
Well, I started in Pittsburgh doing the indies there, and I ended up getting the WWE contract in 2011.
Okay.
And after that, I ended up working in Europe for 5 years. And throughout that time, I just made connections after connection after connection. And eventually it led to the invitation down here in Mexico. And I've been super lucky because of the experience I've had. You know, I've thrived pretty well here. You know, I've been presented with opportunities that a lot of guys would never get. But, you know, I'm usually able to make the best of the situation I'm handed. So I never really intended on doing a Trump gimmick. And honestly, I never even used that word aside from tonight. I'm just so used to hearing it. My job is to piss people off and to make people angry. That's what my boss told me he wants me to do. And that's what I'm good at. So I would do whatever it takes to make people angry. You know, if you had a peanut allergy, I'd probably walk out into the ring throwing peanuts at you. That's just the kind of guy that Sam. That's the kind of guy that Sam Adonis is. So the you know, topical situation that is Donald Trump and the Mexicans naturally led me to you know, use that situation. However, that's kind of what made it stick. That's what made it so successful. So it was never the idea, but it made it work. And I pride myself on my ability to, you know, captivate an audience that basically nobody else in professional wrestling can do these days. You know, in 2018, that is create, you know, invoke genuine emotion in the fans. It's something that you never see in independent wrestling. You know, and I'll be as brash to say, you know, the top independent wrestlers cannot do what I do. And I would say, you know, very of the top industry stars, you know, from the WWE or the TNA or Ring of Honor, them have the same ability. And it's not wrestling ability. It's just ability to captivate an audience. That's what I've been lucky that I've been able to learn. And I think that's my greatest asset. So I think that's what kept me at the dance so long down there.
Well, that kind of brings up something that I've wondered about for a while. I feel like in this day and age, you really can't be a true heel anymore. There are no true heels because I don't feel like people want to deal with the heat that comes behind it. And being in Mexico doing a Trump gimmick, you got to catch hell down there, man. So how do you deal with that, doing that down there? From what it sounds like to me, this sounds like it's nuclear heat, as they would say. So how do you deal with that, you know, your day-to-day down there?
I agree with what you say, but again, it's almost like, you know, a bit of a myth. People are afraid of heat, or they don't know how to get heat, and they don't know what heat is. You know, a lot of it used the excuse, you know, the business is exposed, and they have reasons possible. I look at it as, you know, my ultimate advantage when people feel that way, because, you know, people want to be entertained. People want to, you know, get angry at the villain and cheer the good guy. You know, that's what wrestling is. So I've really, you know, thrown out the window. And I'm basically a 1985 wrestling heel. You know, right. I will do whatever it takes to make. And if you think you're too cool to get upset, I'm going to pick on you and make you mad. And I know I can do it. However, the beauty of it is I'm very confident in my ability as a performer. And I know for 20 minutes, you're going to lose your mind and be so angry, so worked up, you know, shoot me after the match. But then when the dust settles, you know, and you realize that 20 minutes is up, you're going to say, damn, that was the guy on the show. That was the guy that was fun to watch. He's the one that made us, he's like he used to be. So 9 times out of 10, I finish my events down in Mexico, and the same guy that, you know, tears in his eyes, screaming with his blood, is the first guy to come hug and ask for a picture, because he said, damn, man, I haven't felt like that in years. Appreciation that comes with being a good heel kind of negates the true emotion. It balances itself out. And at the end of the day, I like to think, you know, I'm providing something providing wrestling with something that's been missing over the past few years.
All right. So after your WWE run, what made you want to go to Europe?
I've always wanted to wrestle all over the world. You know, I've been a big fan of that since I was a kid, but a few of my friends in the developmental system came from All-Star Wrestling, which is Brian Dixon's territory in the United Kingdom. It's the same company that's been running 45 years, where William Regal and Fit Finlay and all the greats came from. It's the same promoter. So while we were at FCW, these guys would just tell me these stories about this place they used to work at. I would just say, man, that was psyched. I would love to go there, you know, but I had a WWE contract and I would give it up to go wrestle on the independents again. But, you know, the situation led to where it was, and I got released due to a knee surgery after a while. And I actually, you know, came from William Regal, who knew that I would appreciate being there in that European system. So he approached Brian Dixon and told him, hey, I got a kid here that, you know, will probably do pretty well for you. He's got a good head on his shoulders and he's, you know, going to work hard. So Brian Dixon accepted me and brought me over to England. And that's really where I honed my craft. You know, wrestling 200 shows a year, you have no choice but to get good. So being in that position basically made me and gave me the experience to succeed in Mexico. So when I got here, I was already a well-rounded wrestler. And people basically said, who the hell is this guy and where'd he come from? Why have we never heard him? Well, who cares? He's good. Let's use him. So I really, you know, I can't thank that system enough. You know, the All-Star Wrestling is some of the best talent on the earth. A lot of the guys are the best wrestlers you've never heard of. These guys have been wrestling for 25 or 30 years and still can tear them. But, you know, they don't really do the internet game. They're not on TV. They're just really, really good British wrestlers.
So you talked a little bit about how, you know, you had gotten let go from your WWE contract and things of that nature, you know, and how you're one of the few people who's actually getting heat with some of the things he does. That leads me to ask you, you know, knowing that you came up with your brother, what's it like for you to see him just killing it on the commentary game over there in WWE now?
Oh, it's absolutely surreal. We grew up together watching wrestling, you know, not watching wrestling. Every hour of every day our entire childhood was surrounded by wrestling. The toys, the video games, the music, the wrestling, everything. We had such a wrestling life, you know, and it was surreal whenever I got my contract, you know, and just knowing some of these people and being around it. But now, you know, we've come so far. And it's probably, you know, a bit selfish and you know, a terrible way to look at it. But to me, it's so cool that you don't even notice it anymore. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, my brother's there. You know, I live in Mexico, so I can't even hear his commentary on Raw.
Wow.
So I get to see him, and it's like it's not there. You know, it's funny for me, but, you know, what's really incredible is for people that say to me, hey, brother, you're Corey's brother. And sometimes I have to back up and say, who the hell is Corey? You know, I've known my whole life is something else, you know, yeah. So it's really fun and kind of exciting. I accidentally texted him the other day, and I wasn't even thinking, I was just doing my thing here in Mexico. I said, hey, what are you up to, dude? And he says, just calling Raw, ... And I was just thinking, how weird is our life, you know? My brother is saying, what's up? And he's in the middle of a Raw broadcast. What's even funnier is he was able to answer me.
Wow. Well, something that you brought up before, that you were saying that basically your family's been in the wrestling business for a long time. You said your father was a promoter. And I want to ask you a question. Us here at our show, we've got this idea that we want to – we kind of want to put a show together. We've got like I don't know what was it called, Festivus?
Festivus.
Yeah, we want to put this show together called Festivus. So as someone who's grown up in the business, who's seen – your father was a promoter, any advice that you can give us as up-and-coming wrestling promoters other than don't do it?
Do not appeal to wrestling fans. Do not go after wrestling fans. Go after the public. The public is such a different market. WWE does not care about wrestling fans. That's why there's a million wrestling fans complaining about how terrible WWE is. But those wrestling fans will be there every Monday night to watch the show. You need to get the people outside. This Ooh La La Lucha in Detroit does a great job because they bring in the burlesque and they bring in the music. So what I'm trying to say is that they make it the cool thing to do on that night. They make it very, you know, what's going on in Detroit tonight in the cities? You check all the online sites. You check out St. Andrews Hall. Oh, man, Ooh La La Lucha. This looks kind of cool and fun. Mexican wrestling. Let's go check it out. So I can guarantee you 60% of the people this Saturday night are not wrestling fans. Wow. They're going to go and they're going to have a blast. And they're not going to critique it. They're not going to get angry. They're not going to know what they're watching. They're going to just enjoy the show. As soon as you try to start making wrestling fans happy, you're fighting an uphill battle. You know, to me, that's the number one thing I can tell you. Don't try to make wrestling fans happy. I'm a perfect example of that. You know, I'm sure there's probably a million wrestling fans out there they're going to tell you that I'm not a good wrestler because I don't do backflips and, you know, I don't wrestle like AJ Styles. But I know I can wrestle in front of the public and tear the house and make a doctor and a lawyer and a scientist, every one of them say, man, that guy was fun to watch. So, you know, think outside the box, worry about the Detroit public and the people outside of wrestling, and I'm sure you'll do all right.
Wow. Thanks. That's great advice.
I'm sure you'll probably never hear that from anyone else either. I'm very, very unique when it comes to my views about wrestling.
Yeah, appreciate that, man.
How was it to wrestle the wrestling legend as Ultimo Dragon?
Oof, that one's weird for me. It didn't even it didn't hit me until I in front of my father that I realized how big of a deal it was. Because I wrestled all the legends down here, you know, a little by little, and you know, it gets exciting, you know. But when you reach a certain level, you know, that fandom tends to fade away a little bit. So I've wrestled him, you know, 7 or 8, ripped his mask off, you know, beat the hell out of him. I pinned him, you know, 5 or 6 times. Didn't think anything of it. It wasn't until my dad's front row at Dragon Mania last year. And as we're leaving, I said, so what'd you think of that? And he says, Sam, you ripped off Ultimo Dragon's mask in Arena Mexico.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, I've done it before. He goes, I mean, do you not realize what you just did? And I was like, yeah, I guess I kind of did. That's insane, isn't it? And right then and there, that's when it kind of kicked in that, you know, when I was 7 years old, he literally was my favorite wrestler in WCW. And now, you know, we've wrestled 20 times. You know, I was in the main event of his 30th anniversary show in Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan. You know, of all the guys that could have wrestled him for his 30th anniversary match, you know, it was me. So that one is kind of surreal.
So another question I got that brings up a perfect question. You know, you've talked about how you wrestled, obviously, here in the States, but you've wrestled in Mexico, Japan, Europe, all that stuff. Like, when you go to all these different places, like, what's the biggest differences you see in the style? Or do you change your style at all according to where you're at? Or, like, what are the differences you see from place to place to place when you are traveling?
The thing that I've learned about Westside is that people want to see a character. People don't want to see their next-door neighbor. Their next-door neighbor might be the best grappler on Earth. You know, they might be the best submission guy on Earth. But if they don't have any substance to them, if they aren't fun to watch, you know, people will not pay their money to buy a ticket to see them. So I've been lucky, you know, I've been able to create a bit of a, you know, character vibe about who I am. And that's what people want to see. I was told by some of the Japanese, you know, I said, what do I do? What's the, you know, how should I switch this up to, you know, be conducive to the Japanese audience? They said, nothing. Be yourself. Because every American wrestler wants to go to Japan and be a Japanese wrestler. Everybody wants to go be, you know, like they are. And the Japanese people don't remember them and don't care who they are. But the people that stand out are the guys like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen, because these guys are, you know, comic book characters come to life. So that's what, and it's not just Japan, it's worldwide. You know, people want to see a person that they can see on the, that they can't see every day. You know, you turn on a movie, you know, why do you want to watch, you know, a Batman movie? Because Batman is cool. He's not your average person, you know, but the villains, they're cool, but they're different. You never have Batman against, you know, Steve Johnson, the accountant, you know, people want to buy that movie. You need to have your character developed, and that's what people want to see. And it just kind of, you know, resonates. And that's what program is, isn't it? People get into it. You just got to give them something to get into.
And the one of the last questions I had for you, you know, you were talking about how you've known our guest from last week, Movado, for quite a long time. You know, do you have any, like, early stories of you guys, like, when you guys were coming up in the Indies? Because he was talking to us a little bit about that last week.
Well, the thing that I remember is I was quite quite hated for being a young punk. I was like a daddy's boy, you know. The problem was I knew my stuff, but nobody wanted to hear it at that point, you know. Nobody wants to hear that an 18-year-old kid knows as much as he does. So, but I was always kind of in your face about it. You know, I was never afraid to, you know, tell you how I felt. And if you had a bad match, I'd tell you you had a bad match. But, you know, growing up around it, I was very, you know, cocky and, you know, it is what it is. But at the same time, I think that, you know, overall confidence and it stemmed from passion. It stemmed because I was more in love with it than most of the guys, you know, and luckily that's all paid off. But I do believe the first time I ever met Josh would have been in Detroit at the Royal Duff Music Theater. They had a Revolucha event. And my father went out. He's always been a big Mil Máscaras fan.
Nice.
And he was in Detroit for Revolucha. So me and my father made the road trip and connected with Josh and his brother. And from then on, you know, they became friends of the family. So that was then, and this is now. Now
for sure.
We would be in a hell-bent blood feud this Saturday night. So hopefully it'll get the people excited into something that they can remember the way that I remember being there for Revolucha.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think I was actually there for that one, the Revolucha. Was that the one where Sabu was there and Curry Man and Rey Mysterio?
Yeah, Ultimo Dragon was there also.
Yep, I was there for that one.
It's funny. It's funny. Funny how that show became such a big part of my life, you know. Mil Máscaras, Ultimo Dragon, Buck Movado, like, crazy how 10 years later it's all come full circle.
Well, we have one last question, and then we're going to let you promote anything else that you need to go ahead and promote. But kind of a tradition on this show, we have a lot of wrestlers come on, and we started kind of this list of locker room etiquette rules. One of them was, you know, wash your gear. One of them was
shake hands.
Shake everybody's hand.
Keep your baby mama out the locker room.
Keep your baby mama out of the locker room. If you would add something to the list of things that you have to do as a wrestler in the locker room, what would you add to that list?
I don't think I'd add anything to the list, but I cannot reaffirm how important saying hello to everybody is, because you don't know who's paying the bills that night. You don't know, you know, whose wife or whose girlfriend that is, you know, that you didn't say hi to. You don't know whose son that is. You know, I've been in that position. And again, I could, you know, I wish I could change a lot of things about being a 15-year-old kid, but I was a 15-year-old kid like the rest of you. You know, if somebody came into a locker room and shook all the wrestlers' hands but didn't shake my hand, you know, I would always go out of my way to shake their hands. But if they, you know, missed me or didn't want to say hi, or if they were rude to me because they didn't know I was a promoter's son,
right,
but I could tell you straight up, I guarantee I could have that promoter, that wrestler, never booked again. You know, it's a lot easier for somebody to do you damage than it is for them to help you. Anybody can hurt you, but not anybody can help you. So just say hi to everybody, be respectful, and be genuine. You know, I feel like if you love wrestling as much as you say you did, you should be happy to be in every locker room you're in. You know, and take it for what it's worth. Enjoy the ride. Stay humble, you know, and it pays off. You know, I'm just a kid from Pittsburgh that got lucky enough to become one of the hottest heels in the history of Mexico just because I love this business so much. So if it ever becomes hard work and a chore, you know, to say hi to someone, to enjoy being, you know, you really should probably find a new line of work.
All right, Sam, we really do appreciate you joining us on the show, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. Can't wait to see you live and in person this Saturday at La Lucha. I'll be down there. Maybe we can link up when we get down there. But thanks for coming on, man. And if you've got anything you want to plug or any plans you've got coming for the future, man, feel free to let the listeners know.
All right, guys, I appreciate you guys having me here. I can't wait to meet you guys, and we'll get together Saturday. Everyone to come out in the Detroit area this Saturday night at 8 p.m., I think it is, at the show, which would be awesome. Featuring some of the best guys in Mexico, you know, like Solar is going to be there. Some of the lady luchadors. Just going to be a hell of a time. I have Chicago next week. It's up against Nick Aldis for a company called Warrior Wrestling. I know that's only a few hours from Detroit, so if anyone wanted to make that out, another big show with a lot of Mexican stars. And then you can catch us on CMLL Monday night for live wrestling shows. Dragon Mania will be April the 26th. Streaming live TV in Japan. That's another big Ultimo Drafts with two other Mexican luchadors. And then I will be in All Japan in November of this year. So please support. Please follow. Keep supporting my brother, Corey Graves. You know, he appreciates it as well. We're just super lucky we can go out there and do what we love and share it with people like you. So keep following at Real Sam Adonis on Twitter. My Instagram is SamElias89. So stay in touch, and hopefully I get to meet each and every one of you.
Hey, Sam, I know I said we were going to let you get out of here. I got one last question that I just thought about real quick before we let you go.
Okay.
You're down there in CMLL, and you know, me and Kev, we're definitely big fans of New Japan, and we're definitely big fans of Los Ingranables de Japón. Have you had any interactions with Naito while you were down there? Have you had any interactions with him or anything you could tell us about him?
He's never been down here, but I've been here. Kojima's been here. Kushida. Kawato's here now. The Roppongi boys are here. Roppongi 3000 or whatever they're called. Okay. New Japan is partners with CMLL. So I'm friends with a ton of the guys, but not Naito specifically.
Okay.
I can tell you this, though. The Ingobernables, they're born from Rush. He's like the top of the Ingobernables. He's been the inspiration for Naito, and he is absolutely out of his mind. This guy's crazy, and he's a psychopath. He tears the house down. He sells the tickets, sells the main events. So, you know, I can follow Mexican wrestling. If you are a fan of New Japan, you know, that New Japan style is basically born from CMLL. So, you know, continue supporting everybody, supporting your local crews, you know, help make the guys make a living, and, you know, we'll give our bodies to you in return.
Okay. All right. One last time, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there, and we'll let you get back to training to beat up the Mysterious Movado.
It's at Real Sam Adonis on Twitter and at SamElias89 on Instagram. So cool. Hopefully I guys got stay in contact with you guys, and I'll see you this Saturday night.
Will do, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, man. Get easy. Bye.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and come back, talk a little bit of Greatest Royal Rumble and a little bit of Backlash. Sound good?
Yep.
All righty. Let's do it. Cruising down the river. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And once again, I want to thank Sam Adonis for calling from all the way from Mexico. Man, that was a great interview. Really enjoyed that. Make sure you guys go check out Revolucha.
Damn, get your head out of your ass.
Ooh la la Lucha this Saturday. It's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo at St. Andrews. Tickets are going for what, $40, I think?
$40 if you get them from Public House or Imperial House, but hurry up because they don't got many of them left.
Yes, sir. So I got to work. I'm going to try. I got to try and make it down there for that, man. I'm looking forward to it now. But yeah, once again, thanks, Sam Adonis, for joining us on the show. But, all right, let's talk a little bit of the current product, WWE. This past weekend, we had the greatest Royal Rumble ever in history, ever.
Longest Royal Rumble ever.
In existence.
Longest Royal Rumble.
With a 50-man Royal Rumble. It had a pretty damn good card from top to bottom. Only thing it was is like the timing of it. It was a little rough for me because I was at work, so I had to catch it when I got home. But I thought it was a really good card. Kev, what did you think about the Greatest Royal Rumble, man?
I enjoyed it. I just think it was just entirely too long. It shouldn't have been that long to me. I don't think it should have been that long. And it was like a WrestleMania in mid-season.
And it was funny because that's kind of one of the things that I was... All right. Having found out how this whole thing came about, I understood. But it kind of bothered me the fact that, you know, 2-3 weeks after WrestleMania, you're putting on another 6-hour show, which rivals WrestleMania. Right, this could have been if this had been a WrestleMania card, I mean, if you had put this same card for WrestleMania, you would have believed it. You know what I mean? But Yeah, they got paid $20 million to put on this show. So, yeah, I'll do it. Why not? And then for it to come like a week before another pay-per-view, that kind of bothered me. But it was their first time doing it. I think they'll work the bugs out. They'll figure out a better time to do it next year. Matter of fact, they're supposed to be doing it again in November is the rumor that I'm hearing. But as far as like the actual matches, the card itself, like what did you think?
It was stacked. Top to bottom, like – for much as I saw it, I enjoyed every match I seen. I didn't get a chance to watch all of them. It's a couple of them I might have to go back to watch because I heard how they ended, and I might have to go back just to watch them.
Right.
But overall, I liked the fact that they were just stacked, and it kept me entertained.
Kyle, what did you think overall about the Greatest Royal Rumble, man? You know, positive, negatives?
First of all, I think anytime that you get a show that's that long, it is hard to watch it. But I have to say, you know, both of us are fans of listening to Sam Roberts. Shout out to Sam Roberts. But something that he said that really had me kind of excited going into this card was that, you know, when you get the time to know that you've got a show that has hype, that it actually feels big. Like, it's not right. just a long show, but it's a show that feels big.
Right.
Like, even though there wasn't build to it, that's kind of what made it cool, because it wasn't like.
I don't want to cut you off, but I kind of disagree with the fact that it wasn't built to it. They were like building.
There may
some
not
of
have been
matches,
built to it.
No, I thought they were building these matches up.
There was, but I mean, it wasn't like how they do for a pay per view. How you've got like the okay. long drawn out story, and that's kind of what I think made it sort of cool, because it's like most of the time by watching the story, you're like, yeah, I kind of know what's going to happen,
right.
Granted, you can always do that with matches, but because there wasn't the long story, I think that kind of built a little bit of the suspense to it, because you're like, shit, like, I wonder who's going to win here. Or like with the Roman thing, okay? I was sure he was going to win at WrestleMania, and when he didn't, and I heard they were going to redo the cage, they were going to redo it but do it in a cage, I was like, okay, they're going to have him win here because right. it's a better place for him to win. And then when they called him the loser again, I was like, well, damn, I didn't see that. And I like when they, as long as they don't do him too much, but I like when they do finishes to matches like that, like how they did with the spear out of the cage,
right?
Because then it leaves you like, fuck, now what? And then you're like, well, damn, now I got to see what they're going to do next with it. Because even though he's going to go against Joe, you know they can't leave it alone like that, not with him winning like that. And then them doing the whole thing on Raw, which I thought was good, where they're like, you know, the referee goes, yeah, I made the wrong call.
Right.
I like when you do that stuff, because then it genuinely leaves you like, shit, now what are they going to do?
Right. Well, let's do this. Each of us go ahead and jump into a match that we really enjoyed and why you enjoyed it, and go from there. You want to go first, Kev? I'll take that as a no.
I'm like, what match was there?
Well, the big thing here, I'll go first.
Okay.
I've got two things I want to hit on, but the other one's not a match. So I'll go right to the Brock and Roman match. Okay. Because obviously,
just don't do the Rumble. We'll talk about the actual Rumble last.
No, yeah. So that the Brock and Roman thing, you know, with them going into it, having just done it at WrestleMania, you're kind of like, well, damn, okay, you're going to do that again. And I'm thinking, okay, here's where Roman's going to get it. But I thought they did a good job with the match. I thought it was as well done as they could, especially considering the situation. But I like the way they did the finish, because now it leaves you, especially with Joe showing up on Raw, even though he's on SmackDown, to do that promo and all that stuff, you're kind of like, well, shit, now what are they going to do? You know, because right. now you know they can't just leave it that way. There's right. no way they're going to just leave it that way, but you genuinely don't know where they're going to go with it, because you've also got Samoa Joe involved now, and he's on SmackDown.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that we get the resolution to that. Have money in the bank, because I'm kind of going to be there.
See, he said it first. He can ring the bell. I was going to do it at WrestleMania, but I was going to do that. But yeah, so I really enjoyed that. And the other thing that has sparked so much controversy, and I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on it, because I've got kind of little different thoughts than most people. A lot of people were pissed off. More of the female viewers were pissed off because there were no women on the card. Now, I can understand the reasoning for being pissed, but in my opinion, I think that by them going to Saudi Arabia, especially with all the restrictions to the women's laws and stuff, I think if anything, it's a big step forward for them, because then the Saudi government can look and be like, well, this is what the women are doing over there. And they're just now starting to kind of get into that movement where they're starting to let them do things. Like, they showed how they're now being allowed to
drive,
learn to drive, and then be able to vote. I think if anything, it's a step forward for that. But on the flip side, although, let me preface this by saying I completely 100% believe that women should have all equality like men do. So I'm not saying I
feel like there's a controversial statement coming, but go ahead.
Well, no, but a lot of people were like, oh, they did. It's bullshit that they went there because they don't have the same rights. I completely agree that they should have the same rights, but you also have to remember, we're going into their country.
Right.
You can't go into someone else's country and say, well, we're coming here to you, so we're going to do what we want. Because then that's basically saying, fuck your laws.
And especially since we're paying you $20 million
that
to do it.
Like, yeah. That was for the reason
why. And that's what I said. I told my friend Christy, and I had talked about this, who's a listener to the show. Shout out to her. But I told her, I said, you know, you can't – you got to remember, we're going into their country. That would be the same as if they came here to do some big show and the roles were reversed.
Right.
And they said – every woman that goes to the show needs to be wrapped up in the traditional
cloth
and stuff like that. You can't do that. Right. So in the same way, we couldn't have our women go there and wrestle, because with the way that they're dressed and things like that, that would never fly over there, because that's a direct disrespect to their laws. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, but that's kind of just where I'm coming from. I'm not saying I agree with it, because I wholeheartedly believe it should be, you know, equality, but right. I also understand and agree with, I don't think we should go there and outright disrespect their laws.
You want to touch that one, Kev?
Well, I believe, even though I would like to see a woman's match in Saudi Arabia, I would have enjoyed it. But I understand that you can't say, okay, our women are going to wrestle and we're here with y'all. They could, you know, they can say y'all can't come back here.
Right.
And that's the same thing, like why Sami Zayn wasn't there, because he's a Muslim. He's a
that's why
a Syrian Muslim.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wasn't there because
I know he was a Syrian Muslim, that, but I didn't know he wasn't able to go.
You know, and they have an issue with the Syrian Muslims.
Wow.
So that's why Sami wasn't there.
Okay.
You know, same reason.
I wondered why he wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. I mean, and it's one of those things where, I mean, they made a contract with, I don't know if you guys know it, but they signed a 10-year, $200 million contract. So that's $20 million a year that they're paying you to come in and put on a show.
That's not saying eventually the women would not get a chance.
Right.
It's just not right now.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. It's like, yeah, this is a 10-year contract. This is the first year. It was probably in the contract. But who's to say, like you were saying, that there's a little bit of a movement there in Saudi Arabia to give women more rights. So who's to say that within this 10-year contract, we don't get a women's match? Just like, was it end of last year, they had the match in, was it Dubai?
Mm-hmm.
With Sasha Banks Alexa Bliss. So you could, I mean, it's 10 years. You could definitely see it happen. But if it doesn't, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I definitely think the women should have been there. I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, but
you got to understand, you're in a different climate, first of all. And I think, if anything, I think it's a good first step towards,
right,
you know, doing that. I mean, it's the same as, like, laws for a lot of things here weren't, you know, the same overnight. Whether you want to talk about slavery or women's rights or, you know, whatever you want. Everything didn't change within a night. So right. I think it's a good first step to doing so.
And one thing I could definitely see happening is, well, okay, the Saudi people wanted the WWE to come in there, right? They really haven't wrestled in Saudi Arabia for a long time. Now they're there. So now when people in Saudi Arabia start watching Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, they're going to see, hey, I like Sasha Banks. I like Nia Jax. Yeah. I like Charlotte Flair. We want to see them here too. So who's to say that, you know, years from now, we don't – they
exactly.
keep pushing for that. So I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you on that. So – Hopefully we'll see Ronda Rousey versus, I don't know, Charlotte Flair or something like that in Saudi Arabia next year or the year after that, or, you know, down the line. But
Let's talk about. Oh, go ahead, Kev. What match did you see on this card that you really wanted to talk about?
The Cedric Alexander Kalisto match.
Ooh,
okay. I really don't like Kalisto, but I really enjoyed that match. Like the Serena Del Sol into the lumbar check. I was like, that was one of the best counters I've seen in a long time. And it told the story of how Kalisto just couldn't do it.
Damn,
man, for me, man, like with this card, it was weird because like I could tell there were no titles that were really going to change hands or anything like that, except for the Raw tag titles, but that was technically vacant. But ironically, the match that kind of stood out to me was the opening match with John Cena and Triple H. Yeah. And you kind of talked about it with Sam Roberts, how I was listening to him talking, and it was something that I agreed with. Like, John Cena really hasn't won a match, like, since maybe like September of last year. And I feel like they're building on a story of how he's on a losing streak and he's going to have his comeback and his redemption or whatever. And I think he's going to win the 17th title sometime this year. But him versus Triple H, I felt like Cena had to win that match because they were in Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of John Cena fans there. They love John Cena. So, yeah, Cena had to win that match. But if they had that match here in America, people would have been like, man, I'm so tired of seeing John Cena versus Triple H. Why are you doing this again? But it was good to see the two of them have a good match. You know, in Saudi Arabia, the fans were excited for it. I enjoyed it, man. And I wasn't mad that John Cena won for the guy that typically doesn't like John Cena.
I mean, that match to me was reminiscent of when you had Austin versus The Rock for Austin's last match. It had like that nostalgia feel to it.
Right.
And the thing is, man, I mean, I've talked about it for a while. And I mean, again, when it comes to the Make-A-Wish stuff, I'm biased with my upbringing, clearly. But at the same time, I think we're getting to a place where John Cena is starting to transition into like the Kurt Angle, to where they chant the "you suck" thing is like a,
oh yeah,
it's
paying homage to him, yeah, you know, respect type,
you know, and that's the thing. I think Cena's getting to that point because I mean, I think we can all agree. I've watched this whole run. I remember where I was when I watched him debut. Mm. Watching him kind of grow over the years, man. At the end of the day, man, he's going to go down as one of the greatest they've ever had, period. Now, did I always like his in-ring work? No. But if you want to talk about the total package, and he's had a ton of good matches at this point, too, to where now, if you want to talk about the total package and you want to talk about, you know, a full thing, how do you not put Cena in some of the best ever?
Go ahead.
Not to mention, Triple H won the match at WrestleMania 31.
Damn. That's true. So, real quick, let's touch on the Rumble, and then we'll talk a little bit about Backlash. First of all, shout out to Daniel Bryan, man.
Man, you see his chest?
Okay, but that was one of the things I wanted to hit on. Man. Do you think there needs to be an asterisk with him breaking the record since that was a 50-man Rumble when the others couldn't have gone that long?
Well, so do we put an asterisk next to Braun Strowman for breaking the record for most eliminations?
That's what I'm asking. I wonder, does that...
I kind of agree with you. It's kind of cheating.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's badass. It was dope. But, I mean, at the same time, like, can you really compare it on the same scale because they're not...
Yeah. Well, that's like the 40-man World Rumble.
I was about to say, they've had a 40-man Rumble, too.
Maybe
so.
The elimination's okay, but that was still the same time limit, though. They still finished that match in about the same time.
They rushed it, though.
That's true.
They only had that 1 minute interim between people coming out.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about the 40-man. So that does.
Yeah, it had a 40-man in there too. So I mean, I guess it all stands. But but just shout out to him for a guy that, you know, just came back and going out there for what, like 70 something minutes, and
man,
his chest looked like lunch meat. And
shout out to Roger Strong. Man.
was there any big surprises in there for you guys that?
I liked that they, you know, that they did a good job of bringing some people back. You know, like Hornswoggle was not one that I thought was going to come back for sure. I kind of figured Kali would be there, It's yeah. always nice to see Rey Mysterio, and it was cool to see Mark Henry get
Who
in
the hell
again.
Was that? In, the big NXT dude,
Babatunde.
Babatunde.
I don't. I've never heard of this guy, but
yeah,
I'm,
but that's probably
I'm interested now.
Yeah, but that's probably one of the. That's the thing, and I saw somebody in the Reality Era news group say, you know, well, oh, he's not in NXT. Just because you don't see them on TV right. does not mean that they're not in NXT. They could be wrestling on all the.
On the Florida Loop.
Yeah.
They have two touring brands. They got the Florida Loop and they got the National Touring
I'm
Loop.
Not going to hold you up. I kind of marked out when I heard the Undisputed Era's theme because I thought it was going to be Adam Cole.
Baby.
But I was like, oh, that's right. That's cool.
I still think that's so dope what they did with that. That's probably one of my favorite storylines they got going right now.
But what do you guys think about Braun Strowman winning this thing?
And, I think it was the right person to win.
Big Cash eliminating Daniel Bryan at the end. What did you guys think about the ending?
I think the Cash eliminating Daniel Bryan was actually the right choice. If Bryan wasn't going to lose, was not going to actually win the match, he got eliminated by the right person, even though they could continue their feud.
Exactly. I agree. And shout out to Braun Strowman for actually winning the belt, man. But here's the thing, like he won the tag team titles and gave it up the next night, and he won this belt that really don't mean nothing.
He's not gonna defend it, he's just gonna have it.
Right. But shout out to Braun, man. Braun Strowman might be my favorite guy in the business right now, man.
I love what they're doing with that guy.
I was waiting for him to pick up the trophy like Cesaro did that one year.
He definitely could have. But it's nice to see him finally getting some personality too, man. That guy's funny as shit too. And at the same time though, I think when we were talking about it last week, I said that the two people I thought would win would either be him or Brian, and I think that it's the right thing for Braun to have won, because with him winning and he's not in the title picture right now, it's good that he got that accolade, you know, under his belt, and it really cements the fact that this dude like can own some motherfuckers, dude.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's talk a little bit about Backlash. Do you guys want to do picks, or you just want to, you know, talk about the card?
We can do picks.
Picks?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do picks, even though the weird thing is, like, after doing the Rumble, it's like I really don't care about Backlash
It's so close.
I know.
Like, but I didn't know it was so close until I looked up. Like, wow.
The next week. But all right, let's go through the card real quick. We have a tag team match with, and shout out to Tony because he sent me a message saying like I'm pissed off and Devin knows why. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley in a tag team match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I felt like this should have been WrestleMania tag team of Braun and Bobby Lashley, but Tony Thunder. But
I said the same thing.
But that's neither here nor there. We'll start off with you, Kev. Who do you have? Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
As much as I want to see this match, my heart is conflicted because I love Sami and Kevin as a team, but there's no way they can win this match.
So, Braun and Bobby?
Yeah.
All right. Kyle?
Double B.
Yeah, I agree. B&B. But and that's the problem with this car. It's like really no buildup, man.
It's
like,
not.
And we were talking about this on the way over here. First of all, I think that'd be a badass tag team if they keep them together and they'll take the titles and wreck some motherfuckers.
Hold on, you want to take them from the leaders of the world?
Maybe not right away, but they will. Because I don't give a shit what kind of shit Matt Hardy's got going on. Braun Strowman would rip his head off and shit down his neck.
But that's a visual for you. All right, next match we have.
Well, you know he likes to drop the pins on where he takes a shit. It'll be on Matt Hardy's chest next.
Places I pooped.
Next match we have the returning Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. Kyle, who you got?
I want to say Big Cass, but I'm gonna go Daniel Bryan.
DB, fuck it, I'm gonna say Big Cass because
Because, yeah, we're not putting anything on this. Kev, who you got, man?
The American Dragon.
I don't know who that is. This is WWE land.
Oh, that's not Bryan Danielson?
No, it's Daniel Bryan. All right, next match we have. Man, why is this here? Okay, oh, okay, I see. Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe.
Joe versus Joe.
I'm going first. It's hard because I feel like Samoa Joe should win this match, but I know it's going to be Roman Reigns. So, you know what? No, screw it. I'm going with Samoa Joe. I feel like the Roman Reigns heel turn is coming, and they got to build to that. So,
He need a reason.
I feel like Braun Strowman has taken his place as a top baby face, and they're going to actually turn Roman Reigns heel this year. So, I'm going with Samoa Joe. Kev.
Samoa Joe?
Kyle, go ahead.
I want to say Roman, but I'm going Joe.
What? I did not see that coming.
Yeah, you make it like I'm a Roman Reigns guy.
No, I thought everybody was going to say Roman Reigns.
I was going to go Reigns, but
it's Joe versus Joe.
All right, next match. Carmella defends her SmackDown Women's Force Championship Alicia versus. Is right when I said
that. Shout out to Alicia.
Carmella defends her SmackDown Women's Championship Your against boy's gonna Charlotte get his ass Flair. Whooped. Kev, who you got?
Carmella.
Mella?
Yep.
I think Carmella's going to keep it. They're not going to have her dump it that quick.
Hey. Mella makes money. Let's go.
She's a two-time
I mean, dude, she's a good heel, dude. Like, the same thing like Sam was saying. Like, she might not be the best technically, but she pisses you off.
She does.
And, like, when they did that with Money in the Bank, I was like, you son of a bitch. Even though I thought it was cool, I was like, you son of a bitch. You just ruined it.
All right, let's stick with the ladies. Kyle, this is your pick first. We got Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss.
Nia?
All right. Yeah, I agree. Nia Jax.
I agree.
All right. Man, this is boring. All right. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton for the United States Championship. Me, I got Randy. And because I think Jeff Hardy's hurt. I mean, I think Jeff's hurt.
Okay.
Yeah. Kev.
I have to say Jeff. He just got it.
Jeff? Okay.
Randy doesn't need it.
All right. Kev. Seth frickin' Rollins versus The Miz.
I want to say The Miz.
Miz?
Yes.
Seth.
Yeah, I agree. Seth Rollins. All right. And championship match, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Kyle. Oh, this is a no DQ match, by the way.
As much as I want to say AJ, I think Shinsuke is going to take it.
Shit. All right.
My question is, how many times he go low blow my match?
Well, <it's,
laughs> kick him in the dick!
This is a no DQ match, so, all right. I say Shinsuke.
I say Shinsuke.
All right. We all agree. Those picks were boring.
But evidently, the low blow is his
new finish.
His heel.
So, all right. Yeah, that's it. Let's end this show. Kev, throw your social medias out there, sir.
On Instagram and Twitter is _ May in the 80s.
Yes, sir.
On Facebook is Kevin D. Russ.
So is Mama Still Loves Him, who just called him on the way in here.
She sure did.
Hi, Mom.
She sure did.
why don't you go ahead and throw the Facebook group out there, too, man?
Reality Era News and Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast.
Yes, sir. That's us.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. And you can find us on Twitter at KO3CPod and check out our website at KO3CPod.com.
Yes, sir. And come check us out at Ooh La La Lucha this weekend. Get your tickets. 40
that means
bucks.
You better get your big ass over there.
I'm going to try. But until then, you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DEVINTHE 63. You hit me up on Instagram at Allstate No Sizzle. That's all one word. If you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. We go in to make your purchase. Use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. Shut the fuck up, everybody.
1939, fuck your couch.
Yeah, check out all the social media. Come holler at us. Until then,
what the fuck was that? Until then, next time, peace.
Fuck your couch.